Now, I am joined on the line by Ian Sheridan from the Howth Lifeboat, RNLI, no less, in Howth. And it's a timely chat, really, about water safety and advice to people who are going to go on the water at this time of the year. Ian, good morning and welcome to Northside Today.
Good morning, Donny. Thank you very much for having me on the radio.
Now, you're, for a start, you're full-time out there.
Yep, that's correct. I'm a full-time stroke volunteer in Howth Lifeboat Station, and I absolutely love what I do. Give it 100%.
And as I would suggest, most people involved in your walk of life do. They seem to be, they are extremely committed to their career. Ian, it is timely that we have this chat because there is absolutely no sign of the heatwave abating. I am reliably informed that we can look forward to another minimum, and I am putting the word minimum in block capitals, 10 days of this.
Well, 10 days, that is an Irish summer, so you kind of got it right there, Donny. But yeah, it's great. And the kids are now, all children now are on holidays from school. People are getting themselves to the beach. The finances aren't there for going away on holidays like they used to be. So people, Irish people are tending to stay locally, going to their local beaches and using amenities that are close to them at hand.
And with that, despite the fact that it's lovely and you can go in for a dip and cool off in temperatures that, that we are not used to, that brings inherent dangers.
Yes, unfortunately it does. And it's not just this heat wave that we have, Donny. The sea, inland waterways, canals, a pond, anything at all, excuse me, where there's water, there is a risk to life, unless you can take, there are preventions that you can then put in place to look after yourself, particularly at a beach. Swim where there's a lifeguard. If there's no lifeguard there, try and find a place where they are, where they're swimming. They're clearly marked. The guys are wearing red and yellow. Irish lifeguards, they are fantastic. We have RNLI lifeguards as well, but our guys do such a good job here in the Republic of Ireland. There's no need for them, RNLI lifeguards, to come in here at the moment because our lads are doing such a good job. Try and swim where they are. Ask their advice. Go and talk to these fellas. They're only more than welcome to help you. And they'll tell you, yeah, it's safe, it's not safe. Tide's coming in, tide's not coming in. Also, weather forecasts. We tend to go to these places, never look at a forecast. Yes, the weather is good now, so we don't need to. But it can change. It can change like in a heartbeat. There are certain dangers at the seaside, like rip currents, particularly cold water shock. These things are killers.
Ian, something that comes to mind, and you know, there's a lot of different things that this weather has thrown up, and stuff that people are not used to. Our cousins in southern Europe are very used to it because they get it every year. We get it. It's a phenomenon. It's once in a whatever generation or once in 10 years we may get a summer like this, even though we're told that we should be preparing for more and more of this. But due to that, our relationship with the sea, even though we're an island nation, may not be what it would be if we were getting this weather all the time. So people are not familiar with the sea. And if I could ask you maybe to just talk about people who go out on submersibles and out on little dinghies and boats, small boats, etc., how aware they should be of the fluctuation in currents?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I could talk about that particular question all day long. But
that's why I asked you.
Yeah, well, it's a good one, Donny. There's a couple of stores around at the moment, and they are selling things called lilos at the moment. Now, lilos, they are cheap and cheerful, ideal for swimming pools, not particularly near the sea. When I'm talking about the sea, like along the coast, they're very, very light, very flimsy. Kids hop on these things, and before they know where they are, they're blown out to sea. Then the parents are looking at their child being washed out to sea. There, something happens to the human brain. Like, you know, you see your child out there, you're going to go regardless. and they will swim out after them. And this has happened. They swim out to the child, and they, you know, they get tired, and the kid gets washed in further up along the beach, or else somebody has made that 999 call, or the Coast Guard, the lifeguards contact the Coast Guard, put everything in place. The rescue helicopter 116 in station in Dublin, they'll go, the Orne Ally will go, and the poor chap who goes out there gets himself in bother, and nine times out of ten, they get drowned, unfortunately. They get drowned because these things, they're so dangerous. We don't realise that they are so dangerous. We've got a lot of tides around the coast, particularly on the Irish Sea. The tides here are very, very strong. They can wash you out to sea very, very quickly. Don't try and, you know, fight your instincts to go out there. Make a phone call. Get somebody in place. Get the professionals out there to get your child or friend or whoever it might be. Get us out there. You stay on the phone. Keep telling the Coast Guard where you are, what you can see, if there's any changes, colour of the lilo, colour of the clothing on the person. Give as much information to the Coast Guard, because the main thing that we need is time, and there is not enough time when you're trying to save somebody. Time just evaporates. It just goes out the window.
As well as that, Ian, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me, and I hate to be maybe crude and blunt about this, but I'm going to call it as I see it, so please don't light up the phone desks on 867-1190 by what I'm about to say. But it never ceases to amaze me the stupidity of people getting on boats without proper safety equipment. Life jackets particularly is what I'm referring to, of course.
Well, there's a law in place, and I don't know the exact dimensions of the vessel, but it's common sense. You know, you get in the car, you put on your seatbelt. A lot of people go out to sea, don't wear a life jacket. On a particular boat, under a certain size, you don't have to. But if I was going out in a boat, bringing out my children out in a boat, yes, I'd put a life jacket on, because I know what it can do. It's just lack of knowledge. It's lack of knowledge of what can happen to you if you fall over the side. In our waters in the Republic of Ireland, like, the temperature of the water doesn't go above 12 to 15 Celsius. And that's cold enough to bring on cold water shock. Cold water shock, I've experienced it twice. In my time lifeboating, and I used to be a fisherman, and in my time fishing, I fell over the side twice, unexpectedly. And that is the key word, unexpected entry into the water, falling in when your brain is not ready. The best way to explain it, if you go to the seaside, and we all do this, children up to, like here in Hoth, there's fellas in their 90s swimming every day. Now, these guys, their brain is programmed. They know what the water is going to be like. They go into the water and they go, okay, brain, here we go. And the brain knows. If your brain is not programmed through it, it goes into the water, particularly unexpectedly. You fall into the water and your brain is a very clever fella. And it's saying to itself, okay, buddy, I need to get out of here as fast as I can, whatever means possible. We, the Orne Ally, we launched a campaign called the Respect the Water campaign. But I could talk about that all day long. The best way for your listeners, go onto the Orne Ally website, put in Respect the Water campaign. All the knowledge that you need is in there. There's video footage of, you know, what it looks like to drown. It's an absolutely fantastic website. Go in and have a look at it. But I'll just hit you with a few bullet points. If you fall into the water, try and fight your urge to swim. Try and stay calm for 90 seconds. Now, it's a long time. 90 seconds is a long time. Try and lie back in the water. Try and control your breathing. If you can last 90 seconds after falling over the side into cold water shock, it drives your blood pressure goes sky high, your heart rate goes sky high. You want to try and save yourself. You're splashing around. Try and relax. If you can relax for 90 seconds, you've got a great chance of surviving. It's as simple as that. There is no black and white. It's just as far as I'm concerned, it's just black. Just do that. If you can do that, but it's very, very difficult. Inland waterways, it's a little bit harder. Fresh water, you won't float as well on fresh water as you will on salt water. And again, I've tried this because recently I became an ambassador for the RNLI to the GAA, where you go to GAA camps and you talk to young men and young women, basically, and children, you know, about the things to look out for at the sea, inland waterways. And I keep saying inland waterways because we tend to forget them. They are there. There's some people living in the middle of Ireland. Like, where are they going? They're going to their local lakes. They're going to canals. They're going to rivers to swim. 29 people a year drowned in Irish waters. Like, 29 people, right? It doesn't sound like much when you think of the population of Ireland. But if one of those 29 is a relation of yours, that's serious. A question I always ask the children when they come to the lifeboat station here, and like, I love when we get visits to the station from particularly the best age group. I have the best age group, I think, what I want to learn are between 8 to 14. And I will, you know, interact with the children, get them to ask me questions, get them interested, and then I will say to them, okay, for the purpose of the exercise, I'll pick one of the children and pretend that that child was mine. And I was a very wealthy man, and the child was drowned unexpectedly. So I would try to bring the story into their, you know, into their level and tell them I wanted to replace them. So I contact people who make children. And I ask the children, how much would it cost to replace a human being? Now, some of the numbers you get are off the wall, but you will always get one person in that group, and it's always the quietest one who will stand up and they'll say, all the money in the world won't bring them back. When they're gone, they're gone. And that is it. And if I can get that message into their little heads, they will then bring it out. They will hopefully tell their parents about this. And I've had some great feedback to the station from, you know, school visits about that sort of knowledge. I, you know, I get some of them to stand up. I get three of them to stand up and jump around. And I get three of them to stay calm. Like, that's six individuals. The three who jump around, I get them to jump around for 90 seconds. And I, you know, I say to the group, who do you think is going to survive in the water? And it's going to be the quiet ones. Simple things like that. Just trying to get a little bit of knowledge into their head about going to the seaside, falling into the water. Exactly what you said earlier on about life jackets. Get a life jacket on you. If they don't have a life jacket for you on the boat, just don't go. End of story. If you're going to the sea, going to the beach, don't go without your parents or guardian or relations of somebody who's going to look after you. And the thing I learned last week from, I learned this from a seven-year-old last week. I had a group here from the local school, the Borough School here in Howth. And I wasn't aware that you could make an emergency phone call on a phone if the phone wasn't yours. And one of these kids pointed that out to me. Get on the phone. It doesn't have to be your phone. The two telephone numbers, and the one I will say first of all is 112. Try and use 112. Because our Coast Guard in Leeson Lane, Dublin, they can track that call. They can get a latitude and a longitude off that particular call. They can give it to us. It speeds up the whole operation. And again, going back, time. Time is the killer. If we have time, the more time we have to try and get to save a person, well, that's precious, and you can't buy time.
Yeah, and as you said, Ian, you know, in a situation like that, time just evaporates, literally evaporates in front of you. One aspect that we didn't touch on there, and I suppose we should mention it, and I hope that by doing so we won't cause upset or distress to anybody listening, but people who swim in disused quarries, and I'm particularly thinking, I mean, we had two tragedies recently down in County Clare, but I mean, under no circumstances should people go swimming, because you were talking about what looks like a lake and it looks lovely and it looks pristine, but that could be 200-300 foot deep.
But Tony, we had a tragedy here in Howth, excuse me, and a quarry that was being filled in to be built upon. And I can't remember, it's probably about 30 years ago now, but that recent accident that happened, that brought it all back to me. Yes, quarries, they're quiet. They're, you know, they're hard to get to. There's not too many people around. It's anywhere where there's water, whether it be fresh water or cold water. It doesn't take long to drown. It's a very, very private affair. Drowning is a very private affair. It's very quiet. It's not like the movies. It's not like, you know, you see people waving their arms and shouting and roaring. It's not that. If you're in the water, Tony, and you're drowning, the last thing you're going to do is wave your arms. You take your arms out of the water, you're going to sink down a little bit. You're flapping around there in the water trying to keep yourself afloat. Your voice box, right? I say your brain's a clever guy. Your brain says, okay, I need to close this guy down because he's going to let water in. So your voice box gets closed up, so you can't call for help. You're in the water on your own. Quarries are very, very dangerous places. The water looks flat, calm. You don't know what underwater obstructions are there. You might dive in, you might hit your head. Again, you don't have to go to quarries for this. I live here in Dublin. River Liffey, canals. Like, I've seen it, people, young, you know, 17, 18-year-olds jumping off buildings, jumping into the water. They're not doing any harm, right? But they're putting themselves in harm's way. They may jump in, bang their head on the way down, fall into the water. They're unconscious. Perry boys, we see them everywhere, right? You go for a walk, you walk down the Bull Wall, you see Perry boys everywhere. You see them on canals. 9 times out of 10, them Perry boys are not put back into their holders properly, or somebody was messing with them. And the rope is all tied up and it's in a knot. And if you need to use that in a hurry, it's foul. So you go to throw it out. You've no means of, you know, untying the rope, getting the knots out of it in a hurry. Somebody's dependent on that. If you're walking by a Perry boy, whoever your listeners are today, on the beach, inland waterways, wherever it might be, have a look at the Perry boy. If the rope is not ready to go, if it's all tangled up, take it upon yourself to free it, clean it up, make sure the line is ready to go so somebody needs it. You might be a lifesaver, unknown to you. You walk away from it an hour later, somebody might need that, and you have fixed it. And unknown to you, you're a hero. And that's a lot of heroes in this world. Or they don't know they're heroes. Just by doing one simple little thing could affect lots of people.
And I suppose, Ian, as well, and I'd like at the end that you maybe do 3, as you call it, bullet points that people should live by when they're anywhere near water, whether it be sea, river, lake, swimming pool even. But the other thing which is very, very important is small children. You cannot take your eyes off them when they're in the... You shouldn't take your eyes off them anyway when they're out and about. But, you know, when they're anywhere in the proximity of water, never take your eyes off them.
Tony, you know what? Brilliant. Well done. I'd love to get you to the station. Thank you very much for saying that. It wasn't something I was going to bring up. But, yes, thank you for bringing that up. Children under the age of 5 are most at risk of drowning. Swimming pools, that's where it happens. Now, yes, there's barbecues going on, and those of us who are lucky enough to have a swimming pool in our back garden, or even just a small paddling pool, no matter what it is, it takes less than half a pint of water to drown. Appoint somebody, an adult, responsible adult, appoint them pool watcher. Try, if you are going to be that person, turn your phone off. Get rid of the phone. Now, it's very hard to live without phones these days. Everybody seems to have this need, you know, I need my mobile. You also need your child. Believe you me, child's more important than the phone. Turn it off. You would be at the swimming pool, your designated watcher. You're watching the children, that no harm comes to them. Disconnect yourself from the phone call. Disconnect yourself from adult conversation. You need to watch these little guys. You need to watch them because they're lethal. I have 3 of them at home under the age of 9. And we have a pool out the back. And I will not leave them near that pool unattended because I know myself. And unfortunately, Tony, I know what a dead child looks like. And it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. So I'm lucky in a way that I've witnessed this because I will do my damnedest that it doesn't happen to any of mine. I'll say to any of your listeners, you don't want to see this. If you have a pool, appoint somebody pool watcher. That is their job. Give yourself 20 minutes. Appoint somebody else because they are so, so dangerous. They really are. And a five-year-old doesn't know right from wrong. They're totally innocent. Keep an eye on them. They're precious. As I say to the children here, they are irreplaceable. You cannot replace them. When they're gone, they're gone. So keep an eye on your kids,
Ian,
or anyone's kids.
Three golden to live by and never deviate from rules that the listeners can adhere to, and we will demand that they adhere to when they're in the proximity of water.
Well, Tony, I can narrow it down to one. And as I say, the RNLI, an awful lot of people don't know what the RNLI is, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. It's a charity that saves lives at sea. We depend on donations and legacies from members of the public to keep us afloat. It costs a lot of money, an awful lot of money, to run this service. It's a service that has no charge. And they have thought of a name. It can narrow it down. I don't need to give you three bullet points. I can give you one. Respect the water. If you can respect the water, salt water, fresh water, doesn't matter, stagnant water, respect the water. Don't turn your back on it because it is a killer. It's great fun, but if you respect it, you can have fun in the water. Also, listeners, don't forget sun cream. Slip, slap, slop is what we would say. Slip on your hat, slap on the cream. Plenty of sun cream.
Ian, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It has been a pleasure. That's Ian Sheridan from the Holt RNLI lifeboat team. And I think if people adhere to what he said and just remember one thing, if you only take one thing from this morning's chat with Ian, you can drown in half a pint of water. Ian, thank you so much for joining us.
Tony, thank you so much. I really mean that. Thank you so much. And everybody that's out there, if you're near a lifeboat station, and it's a manned lifeboat station, a lot of our stations are manned from 9 to 5, and then it's looked after by volunteers, knock on the door. Come in. They will greet you. They will say hello. They will bring you in. They might be up to their eyeballs, and they might throw their eyes up to heaven and go, oh, my God, couldn't happen at a worse time. But you know what? They're great people. Lifeboat people are the best in the world. Our lifeboat volunteers are second to none. We are the best. And if you give us the information to get to you in time, we'll do our best to save you. But it's up to you. Respect the water. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you, Ian. And not alone thank you for this morning, but for the other 364 days of the year. You're a credit to yourself and your family. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.